I've been speaking a great deal on my radio show from 1 to 2 last week and this week about the issue of anti-communism and the need for a resurgence of anti-communist groups. There was a time in America when there were a lot of anti-communist groups, and our own government was involved in anti-communist documentaries. I have watched, and even watched a few today, documentaries, black and white, from the 1950s and early 60s, but most from the 50s, by our own government, by our own Defense Department, by our own Pentagon, anti-communist documentaries used to warn Americans and the military troops about the real serious threat of communism. Well, sadly, what most Americans don't know is this. The Soviets, the USSR, the pro-communist, had a specific campaign in America to discredit and do away with the anti-communist. As you know, they used all kinds of pejoratives, red baiters and anti-communist hate groups, communist haters. They used all kinds of conspiracy theorists. They used all kinds of pejoratives to discredit or try to discredit anti-communist. One of the most famous, of course, was using the warnings of a senator from Wisconsin, by the way, Joseph McCarthy. And thus, McCarthyism was born. Reality is, everything Joe McCarthy was pretty much saying was true, even more true than he knew. Because years later, there was finally released to the American people declassified information about the Venona Project. The Venona Project was a military national security program that was running, picking up intercepts of communications from the Soviet Union to their people in the U.S. Many of those still, I understand, have not been translated or descripted or decoded, but many, many, many were of the Venona Project. And what it found was exactly what Joseph McCarthy and many others were warning about was true. The communists had penetrated into many and most of the biggest agencies in the U.S., including the White House, close to the president. So even Joseph McCarthy didn't know this. There was even a couple of the presidents that didn't even know the Venona Project was even around. So Senator McCarthy wouldn't have known it. But Joseph McCarthy ended up being painted by the press and ridiculed. And today the term, or the pejorative, is McCarthyism. Well, the reality is this was all an orchestrated campaign by the communists, who openly wrote, and if I had time tonight, I could give you some of the quotes, but we don't have time. But they openly wrote and called for a global campaign, but specifically in America, against the anti-communist organizations, that they must discredit them and convince people to not have anything to do with them. And so America has largely seen the death of anti-communist groups, well-organized groups whose sole purpose is to educate people on the history, the tactics, the philosophies, and the ideas of communism. Well, I want to show you a little video clip or two tonight. This is from a movie. You'll find it online. It's from 1957. It's black and white, and it's called When the Communists Take Over America, and it was put out in 1957. It's about an hour long. It's not that long. We're not going to play the whole hour. We're just going to play a few clips. The premise of the film is there is a man who very much is a middle upper class man with three children. He's a machinist. Interesting that the film has him living a very, very comfortable middle to middle upper class life. I would certainly say middle class life for sure, as a machinist. And you know what? There was a day and time in America when a machinist in America in the 1950s could indeed live a very nice middle-class life. Why? Because we didn't have the runaway inflation from the stupid monetary policies we have today, from the Federal Reserve having been fully kicked in by 1957. Of course, the Federal Reserve wasn't created until 1913. We didn't have the expansive government in 1957 as we do today in 2022. It took two parents, took two people working, as it does today, to provide for your family. For many years, this has been the case. But in the 1950s, one person working, the father, could provide a very nice middle-class income and lifestyle for their family. So that's one of the things I found very interesting about the film, that a man who's portrayed in the film as machinist lives such a very, very nice middle-class life. And some would say, in today's standards, maybe upper class, as far as the way he, the fact if you could today have the mother stay at home and cook and prepare for the family and take care of the family and organize and run the household and see how this house of his was very nicely appointed and decorated. You'd think, wow, that's pretty nice. They can do that on one income. Again, really, in many regards, the middle class of their day were living an upper class lifestyle that we have to have two people working to enjoy today. But the story is a middle class man who is a machinist, and he pretty much, well, is a little disconnected from too much that's going on in regards to politics. He doesn't want to really get involved in dealing with issues related to politics. He even is a reservist and is grumbling about being called up for 2 weeks of his rotation. And then he goes to bed one night and he has a horrible dream. And he's had a dream that the communists have taken over America. But he doesn't know this. He doesn't understand this. He just wakes up to a new America and something strange is going on. Remember now, this is a dream. We're picking it up in his dream. But he doesn't realize what has happened. He doesn't realize communists have taken over America. Now, the interesting, too, about this film is that it's got a lot of stars in it. I think Robert Conrad was one of them I recognize, if you guys remember him from Baba Black Sheep. I saw several other famous actors who, at this time in 1957, were not that famous. I think I saw the guy that played the part of Nick Barkley on Big Valley with Linda Evans and Lee Majors. I saw him in this. I mean, it was a lot of little spots where people are popping in, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, he went on to be super famous. So it's amazing how many people from Hollywood are a part of this one-hour black and white little film exposing the threat of communism. Now, you may say it's a little hokey, but is it really? Because some of the things they go on to say are coming if we don't wake up out of our slumber. Well, they're not that far-fetched at all, but they wouldn't have had the understanding of the internet. They wouldn't have the understanding really too much of the idea of social credit scores or a digital passport or digital currency. So in regards to what they're predicting, it would translate pretty well to today. Let's start out. This is right after his dream, and he's waking up to a completely different town. Watch this. It's called When America... Well, what is the title again? Let me go pull back here. It's When the Communists Take Over America. That's the exact title. I want to get it right in case you look it up. Watch this.
Johnny, will you hurry up with the coffee?
All right. I've only got one pair of hands.
Jerry's a little confused. Things seem different now, and they should, because freedom has suddenly vanished. Fortunately for Jerry, this is just a nightmare, the result of a troubled conscience. But there are some people, like Jerry, who have to learn it the hard way. And this is the hard way.
Permit number. Operator, I don't have a permit. I just want to call my house. I want to talk to my wife.
No personal calls are allowed without a permit from the commissar. You will get off the line, please.
Isn't that interesting? No calls allowed unless you have a permit number. Now, again, 1957, they would have no idea of the idea of the internet or a digital ID, digital currency, a COVID passport. But we have shown you the screenshots from the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab openly stating on their own website, and we have shown you the screenshots several times, talking about a digital economy, a digital society, including having a digital ID, and a digital ID that is required for you to be able to get online. This guy is needing some kind of personal ID, identification, to make a phone call. Well, how is that much different than a digital ID to get on the internet? Then they use the phone to communicate. Today, we largely use what? Online. The ability to go online, communicate, and read. So they wouldn't have known to say, hey, in the future, because they wouldn't have known these things are coming as far as the technology. So not too far off, they're saying, hey, to make a phone call, you're going to have some kind of permit, some kind of ID number that you give that authorizes you to make calls. Well, that's interesting. World Economic Forum today in 2022 is openly stating their desire for a digital ID to be able to vote, to be able to get online, to be able to get social services, your check, your government check, if you're getting some kind of social service check or retirement check from the government, or you know, your welfare, your Social Security. So they're actually right on target here, aren't they? They might be shocked at how on target they were, and I'm a little shocked at how on target they are for a film that's black and white in 1957. Well, what other things did they predict? Well, shortly after this man leaves the what looks like the local five and dime and malt shop, and is confused by the inability to make a phone call, he goes on home, and here's where he encounters his family in his dream when the communists take over America, 1957.
Thank God you're all right.
I have something to do.
Gee, Hill, I'm sorry I'm late. Something strange happened. Something very strange. I was standing in the plaza...
Never mind that. But you are disturbing the children. Their meals are to be consumed without interruption.
I don't blame you for being sore. But I'll make it up to you. Tomorrow night we'll have an early dinner at the steakhouse. Then we'll take the kids to the drive-in movie.
That would be quite impossible. Tomorrow night, you've been selected to address the parent-teachers committee.
The what? Oh, no, there must be some mistake. They don't want me. What would I talk about? How Jimmy's team lost the Little League championship last year?
Subject of your address has already been selected for you. The theme will be how the new communistic life benefits children.
Wait a minute. What if I don't want to talk about that? What if I don't want to talk at all?
I would advise you not to object. Recently, the party learned that you were on the debate team when in school. They were very disturbed that you kept this fact a secret from them. Experienced speakers are needed by the party. They'll make very good use of you.
That's right, and next week you will make another speech to the young pioneers.
Oh, really? And what am I to say? Or does the party have that figured out, too?
Your topic will be communist youth and industry. You will tell about the success of the school reform plan.
And the record yield of corn harvested on the children's farm.
Why is it that everybody knows what I'm supposed to say except me?
The speech was delivered here yesterday, and the children took it to school with them.
They told us that if we learned it, we would understand the communist purpose.
Oh, they did they? Well, I just happen to be your father. If you don't mind listening for a minute, there are a few facts I'd like to explain to you.
And we'll hold it there. Now, that's interesting. So basically what they're saying is, in 1957, black and white, one-hour little documentary, when the communists take over America, they'll be running the schools. They'll be running the schools, and the school boards will be run by communists. Well, that's interesting. Today we call it critical race theory, white privilege. Again, kind of interesting what they're predicting in 1957. And yet when you go online, this is all called red baiting and anti-communist hating and conspiracy theorists. Really, is it? Is it really now? Notice the children were supposedly to eat dinner in silent. Well, what happened around the dinner table for many families in the, well, 50s and the 60s and 70s and maybe in many of us in the 80s and 90s and even today? A lot of family discussion takes place around the dinner table, and that's a great opportunity for families to interact and for parents to check up on their day and to do a lot of teaching right there during the dinner hour. But notice the kids were to eat in silent. You don't want to have parental influence too much on the kids. But the point I want to make from that clip is mainly the schools. They've been taken over by the communists. Critical race theory, that's the masking term today for communism, has been, well, implemented. And he's invited to the school board meeting to speak. And you better go along. Well, that's interesting. If you don't go along, when are you called today? Oh, that's right. The Attorney General of the United States wants the FBI to investigate you as a domestic terrorist. Again, 1957, when the communists take over America. Let's go to the next segment in this one-hour documentary. Watch this.
Sergeant, check the kitchen. You look in the back. I'll be upstairs.
Hey!
What is this? Where do you think you're going?
We have no time for explanations. Already we are 15 minutes behind schedule.
Here, who sent your why? You're not going to take another step until I see your warrant.
Warrant? We need no warrant. As a member of the Young Communist League, your daughter has volunteered for farm work. She's to be transported immediately. The truck is waiting outside.
Wait a minute. Let me get something straight.
You say my daughter volunteered?
That is correct. Here is the signature. Requesting transport to the People's Collective.
The signature on that piece of paper is false. And everything you've said is a lie because my daughter would never leave here of her own free will.
Sergeant!
You've got no right to be in this house. I'm going to give you just 10 seconds to get out of here.
Daddy? It's true, Daddy. I did volunteer for farm work.
Linda, why?
The party convinced me that I should free myself of the lingering bourgeois influence of family life. I am ready.
Honey.
Do not interfere. It is for my own good.
And Comrade Donovan, do not think that your deviationist remarks shall be overlooked. They will be reported to the proper authorities.
You know, many things I could say there, but what's very interesting is the kids have turned against the parents. How many of you watching tonight, your grown kids have turned against you? You're an extremist. You're a hater. You're intolerant. You're divisive. How many parents have emailed me and texted me and written handwritten letters over the last several years, and certainly the last few years, talking about how they really don't have much of a relationship at all with their grown kids because their grown kids think that they are extremists. They are radicals. Well, this film was predicting in 1957 that the communists would turn the hearts of the children against the parents. Notice also the daughter has openly volunteered to go and work for the communists dealing with farming and food. And yet in 1957, well, they were telling us that the communists want to centralize everything, including agriculture. In the summer of 2020, the Rockefeller Foundation, and I've showed it to you several times, it's sitting on a chair over there just a few feet away, report by the Rockefeller Foundation that talks about nationalizing our food, completely nationalizing our food system. Well, in the summer of 2020, many of us would have thought no reason for that. Well, now we're watching as there is ongoing talk, even by the liberal mainstream media, of famine, food shortages, food crisis. Well, you got to create a crisis and then implement the communist strategy, many of them found in the 10 Planks of the Communist Manifesto, which include, of course, nationalizing agriculture, putting the government in charge of agriculture. So this young lady has signed up for the communist cause. Not too many years ago, and even now, many young people walk off from home, turn against the values and worldview of their parents, and join radical movements, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you know, the anti-Wall Street groups. That capitalism is a source of all suffering and oppression. Young people willingly joining the communist ideology, literally in agreement with the idea of nationalizing things, ending the free market system as we know it, and turning against the worldview of their parents. Did this 1957 film, that some may say is on the verge of being a little hokey, some could maybe challenge that, well, look past that. Ask the question, how right were they in their predictions of what America would look like when the communists take over? Watch this next clip.
Honey, I overslept. The kids get off to Sunday school all right? Well, it's a beautiful day. If they get back from Sunday school, why don't we all pile into the car and go over... Hey, what is this? Someone going on a trip?
You could call it a trip. Actually, the children are going away to a state school.
Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I don't know what's happened to you or what they've done to change you, but you're not going to send these kids away.
Oh, she's not sending us away. It was our idea. We learned in school that home life does not encourage the growth of the collective character which the party wishes to develop in its young people.
It's your fault. You should have spent more time training us to think along party lines. Instead, you yourself have been guilty of deviationism and bourgeois sentimentalism. As a member of the Young Pioneers, it will be my duty to report you.
You better listen to me. All of you. I don't want to hear any more talk about state schools and party lines and collective character and deviationism. This is going to be a family again, and I know just where to start. You two are going to Sunday school, and you're going right now.
All right, let me stop right there. Bourgeoisie. This is the rule. This is to be the property owners. The property owners. The proletariat. That's the workers. This is the class warfare, the economic warfare, class warfare of Karl Marx. Notice he says, we're going to get back to being a family. Well, communism is about destroying the family. Remember, one of the goals of Karl Marx's own writings was communal wives. Maybe that's why Bill Clinton enjoys the communist worldview so much, just my opinion. Communal wives, the breakup of the family. In fact, the wife, the mother, is seen as simply a slave of a system set up by the capitalists to enslave the woman. Of course, the Marxist feminists tell you that all sex and marriage is really rape, and all marriage is really slavery. And then your feminist, the Marxist feminist, will openly tell you, and I've written whole chapters and books on this, that women shouldn't have the right to marry and have children, because if they have the right to choose that, most of them will choose it. We can't have that. But notice the kids have turned again against the parents, and I'm going to report you, says that little boy. Well, in 1957, surely they had never heard of, because it wasn't around yet, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, something I've been writing about in my book since the early 90s. The UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, which treat children as adults, the same rights as that adults have, children would be given. The right for freedom of speech, the right for public assembly, the right to join their friends in whatever they want, wherever they want. So they have the right to assemble together as young people, whether it's 2 a.m. or whatever they're doing. The right to whatever literature they want to read, including pornography. If you doubt me, go read the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. They have the same rights a child, a minor child, does as an adult. And if any child has those rights infringed on, which include forcing them to go to church, get up, we're going to Sunday school, the child, under his rights, can turn those parents in. And as you go read the treaty, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, you'll see that they are guaranteed what? They're guaranteed an attorney and access to the courts to bring charges against their parents. Again, 1957, documentary, black and white. These guys predicted a lot more and saw a lot more than maybe you and I would think they could perceive. And I would think that if the people that wrote this and produced it were alive today, they would not see it the way it's actually happened, because they didn't know these things. But they would have to say the ideas are there, the philosophies are there, the fundamental principles of communism are there. We just didn't know exactly how they play out. But looking back, wow, we got a lot of our predictions really accurate. Well, the father says, you're going off to church, to Sunday school. Again, the thought being, if you go to church, you can learn right from wrong. You can learn to respect authority, the proper role and function of government, the biblical model for family. Notice the father wants to take them to church to help straighten out their communist worldview. Sadly, today, most of the churches in America you go to, you would be receiving some type of communist education. It might be called social justice, the common good, sustainable development, the green agenda. But make no mistake, it would still be going to church to get a form of communist education. This dad, 1957, is trying to take them to church to have that be the antidote to the communist worldview. Today, your kids are likely going to the average church in America to actually be indoctrinated into the idea of socialism, redistribution of wealth, social justice, white privilege, critical race theory. If you doubt me, all you have to do is get a hold of the copy of my book, Marxianity. I show all the many mainstream, not the main line, the mainstream evangelical leaders in America pushing Marxism with masking terms like white privilege. How interesting. Let's continue.
Mommy, tell us!
No use to argue.
Mom!
This time, I'm going to overrule the party. Come on. They've been poisoning you kids with those lies long enough. Now you're really going to find out what the truth is all about.
We tried to tell you, Dad, but you wouldn't listen. There is no more Sunday school. Please take us home now, Daddy. Everybody's looking at us.
It's a mistake. Somebody made a big mistake. Come on, we're going to get this straightened out right now. Come on. Come on inside. Come on, Jimmy. What's happened? What have they done? Keep your voice down, comrade. Otherwise, I shall have to report you. Who put these displays in here? This is a house of worship.
You are mistaken. This is the People's Museum. And I warn you once more.
This place is a lie. Everything about it is false. These models? This was not invented by a Russian. The man's name was Bell, Alexander Graham Bell. And he was an American. Get that, comrade. Everything on this table is as phony as the town. The rotten system you call communism.
What's interesting, again, is he says, you've been poisoned with lies. Now you're going to learn what truth is. And he brings them to the local church. Again, good luck there in most of the towns of America and their so-called churches. The lies of communism. What has happened to many of the churches in America? Well, in 2020, many of them were shut down. They might as well have been museums. They sat empty because the government shut them down over a virus, the Chinese communist virus. Many churches today, they are in bed with the government. They now, as I predicted in my book that came out in November 2018, Marxianity, are now social service providers for the government at the local, state, and federal government. I provide documentation of that in my book, and it's now even more documentation that you could read on that. Yes, many of them today are not churches any longer. They might as well be museums because they're certainly not churches, and they're certainly many of them not led by pastors. They're led by what we call, well, the Bible in John 10 calls hirelings. Notice again, many of the churches in America have closed. And the red-green axis, the Marxists and the Islamists, they're working together to make sure the churches can close with legislation that would have them charged with hate crimes for speaking the truth about Islam. Oh, and by the way, around the world and in Europe and America, more and more churches are being bought up by Islamists and turned into mosques. So the idea of churches being shut down, actually happening. Idea of many churches not being churches, as in this movie, many of them today aren't churches. I don't care what you call them. Well, what do you think happens to this guy? Let's hurry along and find out before we go to our next guest. He finds himself in court.
There is no need to examine the statements of the witnesses. The prisoner stands condemned by his own words. He has challenged the supreme authority of the state. He has questioned its practices and its decisions. And by these actions, he has proved himself to be a dangerous enemy to the proletariat. He must be treated as such, as an ugly remnant of a diseased bourgeois class. He must be eradicated before the contagion can spread. Comrade Donovan, you are hereby sent.
So, he must be eliminated. Wow, there must be a purge. Really? Because that's what's exactly happened in our military. They're purging our military. They're purging so much. We're domestic terrorists, extremists. We must be wiped out, as I show in my documentary, Brainwashed America, before we can rise again, the America First crowd. That's what many of the elite said. Guilty, extremists, lock them up, purge them from society. Listen how, well, this famous man, many of you recognize his face from Dragnet, closes this film from 1957. Listen carefully to his warnings.
Jerry knows now, so he'll never forget it. Responsibilities are a privilege, an inherent American right, the strength of our nation. The bright hopes of a free world are founded on the dedication of individual Americans, people who guarantee freedom by standing ready to fight against aggression, against the communist attempts at world enslavement. Freedom is not hereditary. It must be earned. Freedom has a price, and its price is vigilance. Its price is responsibility, not only of government, but of every citizen who salutes our flag. Those who serve as a part of our nation's armed might, and those who have served, they guarantee freedom's continued existence. Freedom. No single word in all the languages of mankind has come to mean so much. Freedom to enjoy the simple things of life in the circle of family and friends. freedom to work at a vocation of our choosing. To vote in open elections for the candidate we believe best qualified. To come, to go as we please. Freedom to own property. To enjoy the priceless heritage of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To marry and raise a family with belief in the dignity of the human spirit. To study in the field of our choice. To speak our beliefs. To worship God. These freedoms that spell America. They represent a way of life that has become the farthest advancement of mankind on this planet. The world community is always threatened, as it is at this very minute, by predatory nations poised to destroy, to devastate, to enslave the world's people. To prevent communism from consuming the entire free world, there stands but one man. That man is you, the individual, the American. You and millions more like you. As our military might guards the continued existence of freedom and peace under God, our strength and shield is you, the civilian who respects his responsibilities, and the American in uniform. You, the individual American soldier, and the United States Army, a force for freedom, safeguarding our way of life.
Gives you a little idea, 1957, when the communists take over America. I thought you might find that interesting. Don't forget, this broadcast, before we go to our next guest, is brought to you by you. If you appreciate what we're doing here, what we're accomplishing, what we're trying to bring you each and every night, your support is absolutely vital. Please go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code B66, promo code B66. Go to MyPillow.com, use that promo code. There's a buy one, get one sale going on right now. It's vital that we hear from you folks. We check the numbers every day because we got to cover the bills, pay the staff, take care of the cost of the guys in the control room, the streaming bill, and so much more. So it's vital that we hear from you. You can also check out my store where we do sell emergency supplies. You'll find that at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store.